Okay, so we're diving deep today into the Nigerian economy, and you've sent us some really interesting research on the Naira. It's depreciation, how it relates to inflation, the whole picture over there. It seems like a pretty complicated situation, so we're going to try to help you figure out what's going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's definitely a complex story with a lot of factors at play. And there's a lot of debate about, what's really driving the Naira's decline and how that all ties into the broader economic picture.
Okay, so we keep hearing about this Naira depreciation, but before we get into the nitty-gritty, can you give us a history lesson?
Sure.
I see in your notes here you've got the Naira going all the way back to 1959.
Yeah.
What was it like in those early days?
Well, back in 1959, Nigeria had just become independent. And they adopted the Nigerian pound, which was pegged to the British pound sterling. It was
Okay.
a way to maintain some stability in those early years, you know?
Makes sense. Stick with what you know.
Right.
But that didn't last forever, did it?
No, in 1973, they switched things up and pegged the Naira to the US dollar.
Interesting. Why the change?
Well, this was around the time that the US dollar was becoming the big dog globally, especially in the oil trade, which, of course, is huge for Nigeria.
Always comes back to oil. But switching to the US dollar didn't magically fix everything for Nigeria's economy, right?
Unfortunately not. There were still some deep-rooted issues that needed to be addressed. So in 1986, the government implemented what's called the Structural Adjustment Program, or SAP,
Okay.
and this marked a pretty big shift in their economic policy.
SAP, that rings a bell. Didn't that involve some major reforms?
Yeah, SAP was all about trying to move Nigeria from this fixed exchange rate system to one that was more determined by the market.
Okay.
This led to them introducing the second tier foreign exchange market, or SM.
So instead of the government saying this is what the Naira is worth, they were trying to let the market decide.
Exactly. The idea was to try to find a real market price for the Naira, make sure those foreign exchange reserves were being used well, and hopefully get rid of that whole parallel market.
The black market, as it's often called,
Right.
which usually pops up when people don't trust the official way of doing things.
Exactly.
So, did it work? Did SM do the trick?
Well, they ran into some bumps in the road. They tried a bunch of different auction systems, but none of them really seemed to hit the mark.
So, if I'm following you correctly, you're saying that pegging the Naira to a single currency, whether it was the British pound or the US dollar, it wasn't really getting to the root of the problems within the Nigerian economy itself.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And to make matters even more complicated, their dependence on oil revenue meant that every time the oil prices went up and down, the Naira followed suit.
Talk about instability.
It was like trying to build a house on a foundation of sand.
Not a recipe for success.
Well, at all.
So they tried to control the Naira's fate, but ultimately, these global forces like oil prices kept throwing them off course.
You got it. And this whole oil dependency thing, it keeps popping up in Nigeria's economic story.
Fascinating. And you mentioned these deep-rooted issues within the economy itself.
Right.
What were some of those, and how did they impact the Naira?
Well, one major issue is that Nigeria was, and to a large extent still is, heavily reliant on imports. And this puts constant pressure on the Naira because you need foreign currency to buy those imports.
Right.
And then on top of that, you've got this issue of Nigeria's exports not being very diverse.
Right.
If your economy is heavily reliant on selling just one thing, in this case oil, any little dip in the global price can really mess things up.
Like putting all your eggs in one very volatile basket.
You mentioned earlier that they tried to diversify things, but it didn't quite work out.
Right. They made attempts to boost those non-oil exports, but they faced a bunch of roadblocks, you know,
Oh,
everything
yeah.
from just basic implementation problems to, unfortunately, the ever-present issue of corruption.
Yeah, corruption, it's like a plague for developing economies.
Yeah.
But even with all that, we're still talking about a country with massive potential. So where does that leave Nigeria today? Well, despite all the challenges, there have been some positive steps. For example, there have been some recent reforms aimed at creating a more flexible exchange rate.
You mean moving away from directly controlling the Naira's value?
Exactly. Think of it like this, a flexible exchange rate. It's like a pressure valve in the system. When economic conditions change, the exchange rate can adjust, and that makes the whole economy more adaptable and resilient to those external shocks.
So instead of trying to hold back the tide, they're letting the Naira find its own level.
Precisely. Now, this doesn't mean it's a quick fix, of course. A weaker Naira can make those imported goods more expensive, which can then lead to inflation.
That's definitely a concern we see in a lot of these research papers you sent over, especially in this one, Effects of Naira Depreciation on Nigerian Economy, 1999-2022. They talk about how a weaker Naira, while potentially giving a boost to exports, can also make it harder for everyday Nigerians to afford basic necessities. That's got to be a tough trade-off.
Yeah, it is. And this is where the Central Bank of Nigeria, the CBN, comes in. They have tools like interest rates that can help manage inflation. But it's a delicate balancing act, to say the least.
You mentioned interest rates. How does adjusting those impact the Naira's value and inflation?
Think of interest rates like the price of borrowing money. When the central bank raises interest rates, it becomes more expensive to borrow money, which can actually help slow down inflation.
Okay.
It encourages people to save more, spend less, and that can reduce the demand that drives prices up.
That makes sense. But wouldn't raising interest rates also make it harder for businesses to grow and invest, potentially slowing down the whole economy?
Exactly. That's the balancing act. Too high and you stifle economic growth, too low, and inflation runs wild. It's all about finding that sweet spot. But there's another piece of the puzzle here, the global stage.
Right. Can't forget about the global context. In one of these articles, Ending Nigeria's Oil Dependency, a window of opportunity. They talk about the potential for a new Bretton Woods moment. You mentioned that earlier. Can you unpack that for us? What does that even mean?
Think back to the system set up after World War II, the Bretton Woods system. It basically established the rules of the game for international finance. Most currencies were pegged to the U.S. dollar, which was backed by gold.
Right.
This brought stability, but it eventually fell apart in the 1970s.
The gold standard.
Exactly.
So are we talking about going back to something like that? A new global currency system?
Not necessarily a return to the gold standard, but maybe a shift away from the U.S. dollar being the dominant reserve currency.
Sure.
We're seeing these emerging economies on the rise. Global trade is increasing, and then you've got these new financial technologies popping up. It's shaking things up.
That's a huge shift if it happens. So how could this new Bretton Woods moment, if it happens, impact Nigeria?
That's the million-dollar question. It could bring both opportunities and challenges. For a country like Nigeria, which has always been closely tied to the U.S. dollar, a more diverse global currency system could give them more flexibility.
Okay.
And potentially reduce how vulnerable they are to fluctuations in the dollar.
So less reliance on a single currency, which we've already established, can be risky.
Exactly. Yeah. But, and this is a big, but navigating this new landscape would require careful planning, a proactive approach.
They can't just sit back and see what happens.
Exactly. Nigeria can't just be reactive. They've got to be proactive.
Mm.
And this is where those conflicting theories and evidence you mentioned earlier come into play.
Right.
You sent some papers that dive into different economic models, like the finance constraint theory of money and the quantity theory of money.
Okay.
These theories offer different lenses through which to view these shifts.
So we're getting into some Econ 101 here. Can you break those down for us? What are these theories all about and how do they relate to the Naira?
Sure. Let's start with the finance constraint theory. Imagine you're a small business owner in Lagos and you're trying to expand your business. You need capital, right? This theory suggests that easy access to financial resources like loans is absolutely crucial for economic growth. For developing nations like Nigeria, where getting credit can be tricky, especially for small businesses,
right.
This constraint can be a huge roadblock.
So it's not just about how much money is floating around, but who can access it and how easily they can use it to fuel economic activity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the quantity theory of money, on the other hand, it focuses on the connection between the money supply and inflation.
Okay.
It basically says that if you pump too much money into an economy too quickly, it's going to lead to inflation.
Yeah.
Think of it like this. If everyone suddenly has double the money, they're all going to be competing for the same goods and services. And that drives prices up.
Too much of a good thing.
Right. And this is especially important when we're talking about currency devaluation.
Because when you devalue a currency, you're basically saying it's worth less, right?
Exactly. And to try to counter those potential downsides of devaluation, governments might feel tempted to increase the money supply.
Yeah.
But as we just talked about, that can be a slippery slope.
It's like walking a tightrope, trying to find that balance between boosting the economy and keeping inflation in check.
You got it. It's a constant balancing act, and there's no one-size-fits-all solution, unfortunately.
So we've talked about the risks, but let's look at the other side of the coin for a sec. You mentioned earlier that there might be a window of opportunity here for Nigeria. What are some of the upsides of all this change?
Well, for one, a weaker Naira, if it's managed strategically, can actually make Nigerian exports more competitive globally. Suddenly, those Nigerian products become more affordable for buyers in other countries.
Like a sale on Nigerian goods. But wouldn't that benefit some sectors more than others?
Absolutely. And that takes us right back to diversification. This isn't just about giving the oil sector a boost. It's about finding those other areas where Nigeria has an advantage and really investing in them.
You mentioned agriculture before. What would it take for Nigeria to really tap into that potential?
Imagine this. Nigeria goes all in on agricultural infrastructure. Things like irrigation systems, storage facilities, better transportation networks. This would allow farmers to get their products to market much more efficiently and cut down on waste.
Smoothing out that supply chain. But better infrastructure that takes a ton of investment. Where would that funding come from?
That's where attracting foreign direct investment comes in. And a more market-driven exchange rate can actually play a role in that.
Okay, now explain that to me. Wouldn't a weaker Naira make Nigeria less attractive to foreign investors?
It seems counterintuitive, but not necessarily. Think of it like this. A weaker Naira makes those Nigerian assets, things like land or businesses, relatively cheaper for foreign investors.
Okay.
Plus, when they see the Naira is allowed to fluctuate more freely, it signals that the market is becoming more transparent, less risky.
So it's about trust.
Exactly.
Building confidence in the system. It makes sense. Investors are more likely to invest if they believe the rules of the game are fair.
Right.
But attracting investment, that's only half the battle, right?
Right.
We also need to talk about what's happening on the ground with everyday people. You said earlier that a weaker Naira can impact their purchasing power. What can be done to soften that blow?
One crucial step is for the government to put those social safety nets in place, especially for the most vulnerable people.
Okay.
This could mean things like direct cash transfers or subsidies on essential goods. Basically, a way to help people cope with those rising prices.
A safety net for those who need it most. Makes sense. But taking a step back here, we've talked a lot about the challenges, the potential solutions. What does the future hold for the Naira? What's the most likely scenario?
Well, if I had a crystal ball, I'd be a very rich economist.
Mm.
But seriously, predicting the future of any currency is nearly impossible.
Fair enough. But based on everything we've discussed, are there any key takeaways, any big picture insights you think our listeners should keep in mind as they try to make sense of all of this?
You know, I think the biggest takeaway here is that Nigeria's economic future really depends on making those smart strategic decisions today. This isn't just about reacting to the ups and downs of the market. It's about building an economy that's more resilient, more diverse, more inclusive, an economy that benefits everyone in Nigeria.
Playing the long game. Making choices today that set the stage for long-term sustainable growth.
Exactly. And that requires strong leadership, sound economic policies, a real commitment to tackling corruption. And maybe most importantly, it requires all Nigerians to take an active role in shaping their economic future.
So to our listener out there who's been trying to wrap their head around all of this, it sounds like there's no easy answer, no quick fix. But there are paths forward, and with careful planning, strategic investment, and a little bit of that Nigerian entrepreneurial spirit, there's hope for a brighter economic future.
Couldn't agree more. Nigeria has overcome challenges in the past, and they have the resilience and the resources to do it again.
It's a good reminder that economics, it's about people. It's about their livelihoods, their well-being, their hopes for a better future.
Absolutely. And by understanding how these forces work, by having these conversations, by demanding better from our leaders, we can all play a part in creating that better future, not just for Nigeria, but for all of us.
Well said. And on that note, we're going to wrap up this deep dive into the Naira inflation and the Nigerian economy. A huge thank you to our expert for sharing your expertise. And to you, our listener, keep asking those tough questions, keep learning, and keep diving deep.